Captain. They beat him in the back and twist child. Yes, he did. But look what football fan to make it home before sundown. Yes, he did. He's trained up back on the wagon. And they lowered his wagon down with big rocks. Yes, he did. And after a while, the sun went down. And the little boy still had made it home. To his house and ran up the stairs with his shirt blooded and scars all on his back. And I heard him say, "Father, yeah, I tried to get here like you told me to come. I tried to get here before sundown. Yes, I did. I'm sorry.
Listening to the very best of community radio and presenting the gospel at 88.1. This is KAYT Gina Alexandria, Louisiana.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 N.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Amen and amen. I want to call your attention this morning, and we do thank God for our choir. Amen for ministering to us in song. Amen. In the book of Joshua, chapter 1 and verse 2, there is a word from the Lord, and I want this morning just to perhaps enlighten some and remind others to the fact that God loves you. I said, God loves you. Amen. I want his love to permeate your existence in this place today. The fact that he loves you. Not only does he love you, but he also wants to bless you. Somebody ought to praise his name. Amen. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 2, it says, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel." Amen. Thank you, ushers. God loves you and he wants to bless you. Hallelujah. And bless his name. So many times we hear messages of condemnation and judgment. We hear messages that highlight and indicate how bad we are, how messed up we are, how twisted and confused we are. But God, let me here today to remind you that He loves you. And not only does He love you, my brothers and sisters, He wants to bless you. And many of us can say that we're already blessed. Amen. How many of you can thank God for the blessings that He's already bestowed upon you? But the good news of the hour is that because He loves you so much, He's not through blessing you yet. Amen. Far too many of us see God as merely a God of judgment. So we spend our whole lives trying to meander through our maze of mistakes and failures. We spend our whole lives trying to rebound from our mess-ups and our mix-ups. So most of our life is spent getting up and never walking in victory. Many of us spend most of our life trying to resolve something, trying to work through some pervasive issue, trying to deal with our sin issue. We spend our whole lives around people who look at us through the lens of judgment, opinion, and condemnation. And instead of us understanding that God has forgiven us, and in our forgiveness, He wants us to get up and actually enjoy life. Most of us spend our lives looking over our shoulders, whining and complaining about how hard life is, about how bad we are, about how much stuff we've got to overcome. But I've come by this morning to tell you that I serve a God, and you serve a God who loves you, and He wants to bless you. I know, my brothers and sisters, that you have had some challenges. I know that you have had some disappointments, but you've got to stop living in the maze of your misery, always recapitulating and reiterating your failures. At some point, you've got to get up, dust yourself off, and declare that this is the day that the Lord has made for me to smile, for me to be happy, for me to walk in joy, for me to thank Him for hope and for peace. God loves you, and He wants to bless you. Now, I need to tell you that this has nothing to do with skin color. It has nothing to do with your gender. The love, amen, of God, the God that we serve, is not wrapped up and tied up or imprisoned by all of the hang-ups and narrow constraints and constructs and categories of a contaminated culture that always looks at people at the surface only. We serve a God. Amen. We serve a God. I said, we serve a God, amen, that loves us. And He loves us so much that He is not handicapped, amen, by your past mistakes. He's not handicapped or disabled by your mess-ups or your mix-ups, amen. He's not, amen, handicapped by the stuff you've done in your past. As a matter of fact, God is not even handicapped with what may be happening in your present. And I've come by to tell somebody today that you ought not waste time with people who spend more time trying to keep you from getting God's blessings than being a conduit through which God can bless you. Oh my, some of you need to get away from negative folk. I made up in my mind that it's time in my life for me to walk in joy. It's time in my life for me to have happiness and peace. Amen. Do y'all know that there are some folks, some of them you call your buddies and your friends, they like to see you sad and down and depressed and disappointed. They like knowing, amen, that you're going through hard times and bad times. But y'all have heard me say before that I refuse to give the devil joy. I refuse to give him any satisfaction because of whatever misery I may be going through. And I've come by to tell somebody today that you ought to get excited because God is about to put people in your life that want you to be blessed. God is about to put some folk in your life who want you to be happy. God is about to put some folk in your path who are not going to sit there jealous and angry because you're being blessed.
because you're getting yourself together. In fact, God is going to put some folk in your life who are going to be cheerleaders for you. They're going to wave pom-poms for you. They're going to be at your wedding. They're going to be at your housewarming. They're going to walk up to your new car and say, I like that. Is there anybody here today who's tired of having to deal with negative people who don't want you to be blessed, who want you to always have your head bowed low? I am talking to some people today that God is getting ready to make a breakthrough for. God is getting ready to bless you. God is getting ready to deliver you. God is getting ready to take you to a higher level. And in order for you to experience it the way he wants you to experience it, he's going to have to deliver you from some folk. You don't even realize it. But there are some folk riding in your car, amen, hating you all the while. There are some folks sitting up in your living room on your nice new furniture, amen, with their nose in the air, all the while hating the fact that God has blessed you. But I've come by to tell you today, my brothers and sisters, that God is about to bring some folk into your reality who can praise God because you're being blessed. God is about to bring some folk into your reality who are not going to be mean mugging and hating you because you've been blessed. Is there anybody here today who can say like me, I don't have to get mad because my neighbor is blessed. I don't have to be sad because my friend is blessed, because I know that if God is blessing in my neighborhood, don't hate on my neighbor. Just hang on in there. Because somebody said, if he's in the neighborhood, nudge your neighbor and say, my blessing is on the way. You know how it is when you're waiting on the postman, amen. Sometimes you're waiting on that important letter. Some of y'all waiting on that important check. And you checking, you looking out the window, you looking out the door, you looking down the street, and you see the postman way down there. You're not mad because he's at somebody else's house. Because you know all you've got to do is hang on in there. He's coming to your door. Come on, where are my folk that can praise God when he's blessing other people? I want you to turn to somebody and say, God loves me. And he wants to bless me. Oh, thank God, thank God, thank God. You know the story of the children of Israel, how God had delivered them out of captivity in Egypt. You know that God used Moses, the great deliverer, amen, to lead them a long way, amen. But Moses could not lead them all of the way because there was disobedience in the camp of the Israelites. There was sin in the camp of the Israelites, and so for 40 years they wandered aimlessly through the wilderness. Amen. They were a short distance from the promised land. Y'all know about the promised land, don't you? It was that land that God had promised Abraham that he would give to him and his people, a land flowing with milk and honey. But they couldn't get there. And by the time we get to the text, amen, where we are today, Moses has died. And God has raised up another leader by the name of Joshua. And I like this because God tells Joshua, just as I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. And God tells Joshua, amen, and the people of Israel that I'm going to give you a land. I like that. I like that. And the first question that ought to come to your mind as it relates to what God is going to do, as it relates to blessing you, you ought to want to know, what is he going to give me? Is there anybody interested, amen, in knowing how God is going to bless you? What he's going to bless you with? Well, all you need to do is look here to the children of Israel and see how God will bless you. I found it right in that word, give. Right there in verse 2, amen, he says, unto the land which I do give to them. Do y'all see it? Do y'all see the blessing? Do you see it right there in that word, give? Am I the only one, amen, with an imagination big enough and broad enough to see how God is going to bless them? in the word give. It's right there between the G and the E. Before I tell you what God wants to give you, I want to first of all tell you that God wanted them to own the land. He says, I'm giving it to you. Amen. That don't move somebody, because you don't understand that God, amen, is creating a situation in your life where you're not going to have to any longer share with somebody else. You're not going to have to, amen, any longer, amen, have to eat at somebody else's table. You're not going to have to wait on anybody else to get their check before you can get your blessing. Amen. God says, I am going to give it to you. Is there anybody happy to know that when God gives something to you, ain't no devil in hell that can take it away? Folk can lie on you and talk about you and hate on you and all of that. But when God blesses you, when he gives it to you, point to yourself and say, it's mine, and ain't nothing the devil can do about it. God is about to bless you. And what he's about to bless you with, no one can take it from you. God says, I'm not giving you a land for the Canaanites to take back. I'm giving it to you. It's yours. It belongs to you. Well, let's look at it right in the word give, what God is going to give us. He loves us. He's going to bless us. The first thing we see that he'll bless us with is grace. Turn to your neighbor and say, thank God for grace. Unmerited favor. I told you it was right there between the G and the E. What God is going to bless us with, he's going to bless us with grace. You don't deserve it, but God says, I'm giving it to you. The land that God gives the Israelites, give, amen. When you look at the word give, the etymological meaning of the word give in the Hebrew, you discover that there are two forms of this verb, give. First of all, there is the perfect form. The perfect form of the word give is mentioned 42 times in the book of Joshua. 42 out of 46 of the times that you find the verb give in the book of Joshua, 42 out of 46, or 92% of the time, the word is in the perfect form. Tell your neighbor, it's the perfect form. Can I tell you what the perfect form means? The perfect form of the word give means I've already given it to you. You don't have it yet, but I've already given it to you. That's the perfect form. Amen. They had not yet possessed the land, but God says, I am going to give it to you. And the perfect form of the word give is past tense. Oh my, I'm trying to tell somebody that's worried about how you're going to eat tomorrow. I'm trying to tell somebody who's worried about a promotion next week or next year. I'm trying to tell somebody that's worried about a car that might be repossessed or a mortgage that you can't. I'm trying to tell somebody that's up all night. You can't sleep because you're worried about how you're going to make it with this bill and how you're going to make it with that bill. What I love about my God is that when he gives you something, in the perfect form of the word give, tell your neighbor, it's already mine. Sister Cooper, I'm looking at you, and thank God for how he's blessed you this past week. And yes, we prayed about it, and you talked about it, and you prepared yourself, and you had your doubts and your worries about what God would do. But when you called me, I was on the highway. I had to pull over on the shoulder to get my praise on, because she said that what she'd been praying for, what she'd been asking for, what she'd been hoping for, the answer came, and it was the affirmative. But Sister Cooper, can I tell you something? It was already yours before you ever knew about it. It was already yours. And is there anybody else in here? You can look back over your life and think about some things that folks said you'd never have, some things folks said you'd never do, some places folks said you'd never go. But God is not a man that he should lie. If God said, I'm giving it to you, you ought to go on and give him praise. Is there anybody here who understands I don't have to wait until I have it to give him praise?
because he spoke it in my spirit. It's already mine. It's already mine. Come on and give him praise. God says, I give it to you. And so the perfect form of that word, amen, is in the past, I already gave it to you. But then the imperfect form of the same verb says that it's a future event. Now, 42 out of the 46 times that the word give is found in the book of Joshua, it's the perfect form. Only 4 out of 42 times, or 8% of the time, is it the imperfect form. God says it's something that's going to happen in the future. Now, I don't know how y'all feel about it, but anyway, he blesses me, I'll be satisfied. Amen. Anyway, he blesses me, I'll be satisfied. And so grace, he gives us grace. He gives us grace. But not only that, he gives us, watch this, independence. What kind of independence, Pastor? He gives us independence from lack. He gives us independence from lack. Anybody in here tired of coming up short? Anybody in here tired, amen, of just barely, I'm barely making it? Y'all know that's some folks' testimony. Every time you see them, amen, how you doing? Oh, fair to middling. Amen, how you doing? Amen. Oh, I think I'll make it. I'm trying to make it. But I have come by today to tell you that God loves you. And he wants to bless you, number one, with grace. Ain't nothing you can do to get his grace. It's unmerited. He gives it to you because he loves you. But secondly, God wants to bless you with independence or freedom from lack. Amen. When you look again at the etymology in the Hebrew, this time not of the word give, but of the word flowing. He says, I'm going to give you a land that is flowing with milk and honey. When you study the etymology of the word flowing, you see, you there's a tendency to think of maybe a stream. You know, when you think about flowing, you think about a stream that's flowing. But when you look at the word etymologically, flowing in the Hebrew means gusher. It don't mean no little stream. It means a gusher. In other words, what God is saying, amen, I'm going to put you in a situation where you will never have to suffer lack again. The blessings ain't going to just be creeping in your life. Tell your neighbor, the blessings are going to be gushing into my life. As a matter of fact, every time I turn around, every time I turn around, another blessing. God is going to bless you with independence from lack. But not only that, I need to tell you that he's going to bless you with something else. He's going to bless you with victory. Thank God for victory. Because when you study this text, you discover that not only does God give them the land, he gives the people that are already in that land into the hands of his people. They're enemies. See, they didn't go into an uninhabited sphere. They went into an area where they had to fight against the Jebusites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites. Amen. All of these people occupied the land. These were enemies of Israel. But God says, not only am I going to give you the land, I'm going to put the enemies under your feet. Do y'all know? That's why, thank you, Brother Smith, the Bible says, he will make your enemies your footstool. He will make your enemies your footstool. He will make your enemies. Y'all know what a footstool is, don't you? Amen, amen. A footstool is something that you get on to take you higher. Now, some of y'all are worried about your haters, worried about your enemies. Yeah, they lying on you and talking about you and all of that. But one thing I thank God I learned a long time ago is that you don't ever get down on the level of your enemies. You don't ever, amen, come down to their level. All you do is keep trusting in God. And that's why in the New Testament, Jesus said, bless your enemies. You ain't got to cuss them out, bless them. Watch this, watch this. Do you know why you can bless your enemies and why I thank God for the word and why I can bless my enemies? Because when you study this text out, you discover that the way God blesses Israel is by giving them what their enemies had. So when my enemies bother me, instead of me cussing them, instead of me letting my blood pressure go off the atmosphere, I've learned how to say, God bless them. And I mean, I want him to bless them real good. Because I understand that the way he's going to bless me is with their stuff. So that's why when your enemies get on your trail, just ask the Lord to bless them. And I mean it from your spirit. Amen. Bless them real good. Because God is going to bless you with the stuff that they had. He wants to bless you. He loves you. He loves you. He wants to bless you. Thank God for grace. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I don't know about you, but I once was lost. But now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. That's one of the blessings of God. Thank him for his grace. But not only should you thank him for his grace, you ought to thank him for independence from lack. You ought to thank him for making provision for you. You ain't got to worry about where the next bill is coming from. You ain't got to worry about when the bill ain't paid, how it's going to be paid. Tell your neighbor, just trust in God. Is there anybody here who knows that God will make a way out of no way? If you know it, then you ought to give him some praise. Thank him for independence from lack. But not only that, you ought to thank him for the victory. You see, there are some people who are waiting for you to lose. There are some people who are waiting for you to fall out of the race. But I've come by to tell you that as long as you've got Jesus, you are guaranteed the victory. I wish I had one or two people who would stand and testify with me that I'm on the winning side. I thank God for the victory. But there's one more letter in the word give. And I gotta thank him because there's one more thing he gives me. You see, the children of Israel were excited about some land that they could only stay on temporarily because they all had to die. But I thank God that he blesses me with one more thing. That is eternal life. I've got a treasure waiting for me in a land called glory. I've got a treasure waiting for me in a place called heaven. And do you know what I like about it? I found out that I can't get there by myself. But if I trust in Jesus, if I give my life to him, one of these old days, I'm going to give up the ghost down here. But don't count me out because I've got an eternity waiting on me. Is there anybody here? You can thank God for eternal life. The blood of Jesus it guarantees that you will have eternal life. Now, what I want you to do, I want you to